can save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems. Home improvement problems, that is. Send an email now to robbie@mightyhouse.net or call into the show at 877-711-5611. From foundation leaks to roof repairs, the Mighty House team is on the job. You're listening to Mighty House.
Good morning, Chicago. I am not Ron Cowgill, and the Mighty House team is on the air. This is Rich Cowgill sitting in for Ron. He's on a little road trip, which we'll discuss shortly. This is where we're going to discuss all your home improvement issues, from foundation leaks to roof repairs. Have a problem with your house, don't know what to do? Give us a call, 877-711-5611. Maybe you know how to install a tile floor, repair a plumbing problem, or replace a switch or an outlet. Give us a call, 877-711-5611. Number again, 877-711-5611. We have open phones right now, so get your questions in. First hour, we're going to be taking your calls. We have Mighty House Tip of the Week with myself. In the second hour, we'll be talking, well, Will Decker always calls in, so that's just from last week's script, but he'll probably call in anyway. We got Clutter Clarity, which I don't know who's going to do that. It's either going to be Ash Nissan or Allison Case, whichever one comes up with something.
I mean, whoever's more organized in an hour.
Well, you can always just grab an article out of the paper. That's what Robbie does every week. So, in the third hour, we'll be taking phone calls, answering emails. So join us on Facebook Live right now, brought to you in part by the Roofers and Waterproofers Local 11, Smart 265, which is the sheet metal workers, guys, and Mr. Floor and Magaran. That's how I clean my water heaters. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at mightyhouse.net, tunein.com, and on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for the Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcast previous shows available on mightyhouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, homeimprovementusa.com. Find links to them all at mightyhouse.net. Video clips of the show available at mightyhouse.net and the Mighty House YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube, look for Mighty House. Follow us on Facebook. Look up Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Twitter handle is at Mighty House. Give us a call, Mr. Floor Helpline, 877-711-5611. Have a chance to win your choice of Mr. Floor cleaning products, non-toxic, environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFloor.com. Okay, that's the 20-minute in.
Yeah, that was intense.
My eyes glazed over a little bit.
I know. That's why I try to do that quick, and I'll be honest, so does Ron, because it does. It gets ridiculously long. So, in studio, since Ron and Robbie are both out today, so I'm down in FLA, and we have Ash Nissan from the Northside Home Guy.
Absolutely.
And Allison Case from Integra Rehab.
It's me.
And you know what's funny? I do that newsletter, and every time I put the newsletter together, especially with guests on the show or whatever, I learn about people. So I go to your websites, and I just look for something to throw in the newsletter. And Ash, I did not realize you were lead certified green builder guy. I just thought you were more realtor builder. So that was cool. And Allison, I did not know that you worked for interior architects.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was super fancy
Chicago
at one time in my
interior.
Life. Yes.
What is it? What congratulations for being free now.
Thank you.
Yay.
I came to the light side.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the dark side. I actually took a job.
Ah.
I know. For 5 years now, I've had this J-O-B, and it really does cramp my style.
Oh.
But
so when I was working in D.C.
But it's a good job.
It's a great job. Dude, you get to make dreams. Like, really. I mean, the budget doesn't matter. We'll make a fancy. Yeah, you want that? Sure, yes. We'll figure it out.
I'm going to be honest with you. That's the bigger problem. Because you're right. Most of the time, you know, a job is a job. But this is, yes, like I get to do silly crap and spend tons of money. So it's not bad.
And it's a problem?
That's the hours.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, come on. You spend the summer, you sail, right? You and your husband, you sail. So you want to get off early on a Friday and go sailing, right? Gone. Not me. 5 o'clock, you know, got to stay in the office. And, yeah, that's the part. That's still, after 5 years, it's still driving me nuts.
Which is why I work for me.
I know, but here's the thing. How many people have jobs 20, 30 years, go to the same office and all that?
Nobody anymore.
No, you're right. No, it's less so. The average tenure in the U.S. is something like 3 years in a job.
Is it that low?
It's 2.5.
That's embarrassing.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. But, you know, this is sort of an interesting topic because we talk about, you know, I always think about that Washburn Trade School on the south side, mm-hmm. kind of heading towards Stickney. And and I'm sorry, I just got caught on the screen. Just so you know, I'm actually here in studio and it's not just a cutout of me sitting there frozen in time.
Actually, he's really upset. Right. By something we
so
said.
I'm just frozen, like staring down at my...
against the 9 to 5.
Anyways, so Washburn Trade School on the south side is completely shuttered. I mean, it's several city blocks large, right? And I was thinking about a comment that I heard these sort of panty waist executives saying about, like, well, you know, the problem is that the workers don't have the right training. Well, if you were going to invest in a worker and you were going to train them properly, they might stick around. Let's say you actually gave them a raise when you gave yourself a raise. I think of that as like this great Chicago treasure that just never, like, it sits there as a testament.
A testament to the past?
Yeah, but to the rot. Of that industry, our industry, of the professional trades.
I don't disagree with that. I'll be honest. So I'm going to use the guy's name, Doug Talsma, who he's probably my oldest best friend. He's best man at my wedding. He went to Washburn back in the probably 70s. He's not that old. He's old, but he's not that old. Probably in the 70s, he went to Washburn. I went to work for him. He taught me what he knew. And there's a lot to be said for people that have formal training and then train others. And that's what got me hooked into this. I don't know how you do it now because they don't have the classes. You're absolutely right, Ash. Washburn is a school that should be fully funded and operational.
Absolutely. You know, if
it should be government funded.
I got one for you. I love that. That's brilliant. Like, what if we said, if you give us 2 years of service, like in Israel and a bunch of the modern industrialized nations, they say it's conscription service. You have to serve actually in the military. But what if, like, you just had to do 2 years for the nation as a whole, let's say building roads, or, you know, what about the Works Progress Administration and the Christian Conservation Corps and, like, those, not that we have to reconstitute those exactly, but that idea. Mm-hmm. Like, what if we were investing in our infrastructure, our what is it, guys? The local engineers or the national engineers gives us a rating of D, but it's like it's a gentleman's D, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Like, really, our infrastructure is failing, but we really
our infrastructure is archaic.
It is
here.
It's horrible.
What? I mean, it's like you go to Europe and you're like, man.
Yeah, trains right? in the, like, you know, 150, 200 mile an hour range.
We can't go over 35 because the rails fall apart.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, what if we spent a little bit of money and we undergrounded the red line, the L? And what would that be like?
Well, it wouldn't be the L anymore.
Oh, yeah, but you know what? Do you know the Metro? In D.C., this is where you were saying I was a LEED certified guy, LEED accredited, and that's because I worked in the federal government for a little while. And
I didn't know that. Again, that's what I said when I was reading your bio on your website. I was like, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a fun time, but I hated D.C. I love Chicagoans. I love Midwesterners. You know, they're real people. They're people that you can just sort of, you know, meet at a coffee shop or a bar, and you're sort of standing in line together, and you strike up a conversation, or at a baseball game, and... it's a lot different. The style, the social interactions on the East Coast are a lot different. But anyway, I digress. But so what if we were in turn for training people? We would say, hey, you could work in a Peace Corps or the military. I'm prior service. I wholeheartedly support that. But recognize that people may want to do different things. What if we just sort of like invested in ourselves as a country? And to your point, why not government fund a trade school? That's a perfect way to help say, hey, we're going to pay for your trade school. Come work for us
and
for 2 years.
And it helps, you know, it helps us as remodelers. You know, I'm really struggling. I mean, this year was like the year of the carpentry crisis for me in remodeling. Yeah. I mean, it is like crazy busy right now with construction, and like carpenters are simply hard to find. They're not even like raising their rates. They're just hard. Right. They're just not available. And it's like, so now we're having this conversation. Well, you know, maybe we bring them on, you know? And then you get into the argument of, well, we don't want to train people just to have them leave and go on their own.
That's as part of the problem. But the other side of that is, you know, do you have the time to train people? Like, you know, if you bring somebody in to train them, let's just say you start them at $14-15 an hour, they still want 25.
Right.
Even though they don't know anything.
Right.
You know, it's nobody's willing to pay their dues.
Right. So, and it's like if we had a school that was government funded that was training people, that would take the burden off us.
Right. You know? And if they then paid their stuff back for 2 years working for the government, you'd get them not only trained but with some experience on the ground.
Right.
Yep. All right, we've got to take a break here. Give us a call, Mr. Floor Helpline, 877-71-5611. We'll be right back.
Mighty House will return.
You see this hammer in my hand?
Yeah, I'm going to find that stud finder. What does it look like?
And a level.
What is a level?
Don't you know what a level is?
Yeah, it's something you advance to in a video game.
It's Mighty House. Call Mighty House now at 877-711-5611 and get advice from the experts themselves.
This is Mighty House.
All right, we're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com, and on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Give us a call on the Mr. Floor Helpline, 877-711-5611. Have a chance to win your choice of Mr. Floor cleaning products, non-toxic, environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFloor.com. Also, we're on Patreon. You can become a patron.
I'm a patron of Patreon for your show.
Are you?
I'm a patron of GOT Academy.
Mostly because Ron strong-armed me, but that's okay.
No.
No, I love it. It's great. I get because what? I'm not always up on Saturday morning. Can I admit that?
You can't admit that. Are you crazy?
That's actually the intent of it, though, because not everybody wants to be up on Saturday morning. And this way, you can actually go listen to the show at your leisure by blog. And then we're supposed to do interactive stuff. We're still working out some of the scheduling. But we'll have, you know, like a live sideshow where you can call in when you're actually working on your actual house and you have a question. Or you could just call in here and save
time. Oh, that's a sweet idea.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And then, of course, Klein Tools is throwing in tools, free tools. Huh. So every month, Ron's supposed to give away a tool. Now, I think last month has passed because this is a new month. This one's called October. So I'm not sure if he gave away the Klein Tool high-paid pliers.
I love me some Klein Tools.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, so, just really good, just a really great quality product. I was using Knot for a while. I'll just say others. And we've moved over particularly for our electrical work. It's great stuff.
So speaking of sweet ideas, I think we should talk about Ron Cowgill now.
Hey, it's just out on the road.
Right. So let's talk about Ron Cowgill's vacation that he's on right now.
His planning.
So
Ron decided, him and Ian does sit in on the show. Actually, last time Ron was
Ian
out, Ian and I
Snook?
Did the show. And
it's got the best last name ever.
Nice.
I know. And that guy, holy crap. You want to talk about taking over the show?
Yeah.
He just goes and goes.
Him and I hosted together last year at one point. Yeah. We just like, I was like, we got to shut up.
Yeah.
It's like the fastest 3 hours
it's
in radio.
It's a talk show. It's good. No, as long as you took calls. Did you take calls?
Oh, we took a lot of calls.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. You know, if you don't want to hear us ramble anymore. Call in.
Right, call in and we'll shut up and we'll stop for 30 seconds to hear your question.
Exactly. So anyway, they hopped on their motorcycles. They decided to take a ride out to Baltimore for the Remodelers show. You know, so that's good. And, you know, Ron's all into that, the NARI, the National Association of Remodeling Industry. Both of him and I are both past presidents and stuff. But anyway, so they take a ride out there. He calls me Tuesday, Wednesday. The show's not till next week. He had the wrong dates.
Yeah, so he
sad trombone, Randall.
So wah, he goes wah, on this. Wah, so wah. let's just step back and understand what happened here. So Ron gets on a motorcycle with Ian, drives. Wait, all...
Plans to be away from the show and asks for like other people to come in and step in for him, right?
Yeah.
And then drives to the East Coast.
1,000 miles.
Right, and the big mecca is supposed to be this remodeling show, and the remodeling show is next weekend. I mean. This, like, quintessential Ron Cowgill.
So, well, the thing is, so I asked him, I said, so are you coming back doing the show Saturday? He goes, no. No, they're taking the Appalachian Trail and they're going north and going up into New York, I think he said.
Like you do. Absolutely.
That's what I said to him. You know, I mean, I know Ron. I know Ron quite well. And you know,
which is why this didn't surprise you when he was not aware of the timing of the show. Uh-oh. Do we still have...
We're still here.
Oh, good. Oh,
you know, I remember the days where we could do the radio without Facebook Live.
It was better.
It's just weird to me as an old
fart. Because I had to fix my hair
that he's
morning.
In another state and we can still sort of...
Yeah.
We're doing a thing to get items.
Oh, hey, there you are. Oh, look at Ash. Now you're the whole thing.
Yeah, everyone else is gone, but there's all Ash. Now, I got to tell you that this is the wrong balance. If you're going to have only one person... Allison is much easier.
I am
on
right
the
here.
Eyes than,
Thank
than
you.
Ash is.
That's what I was going for.
Right?
Yes.
That's funny. Yeah, so, mine's all froze up. So Ron and Ian are out tooling around. Now, here's the other thing. You know, Ron's got a really cool helmet and Bluetooth setup.
Uh huh.
I can't tell you how many times him and I, after a radio show, he gets on his motorcycle, starts driving home, and he will Skype, and him and I'll have a meeting. And he's on his motorcycle with his phone on his dashboard, so to speak. And you'd no clue he's on his motorcycle. There's not a bit of wind noise. You know, it's all Bluetooth in his helmet.
That's crazy.
Freaking crazy.
Yeah. I mean, he's probably also going like 30
right
miles an hour.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's probably listening right now going,
nice.
Because what else are you going to do?
Yeah, he's funny. We'll meet for, you know, work we're doing together, and it doesn't matter really. It's if it's raining, he's on his bike. If it's if it's like 98 degrees with 95% humidity, he's on his bike. I'm like, dude, like
if I had a mustache, I'd be on my bike all the time too. The mustache really makes it.
It's really too early for that sort of visual imagery. But sometimes Pawpaw is in his van, and that seems to me to be appropriate. Actually, at you know, old fart in a van. But anyway, he's out on the road. That's good. I long to be on the Appalachian Trail. That's not hiking the Appalachian Trail a la, you know, recent news history. That's a little different.
I like to have a destination on a vacation and then get there. And have it all work out.
And that occasionally doesn't happen that way.
Right. I don't think I'll be traveling with Ron anytime soon.
So that, I don't know if it was last week or 2 weeks ago, because obviously I've been off the last 2 weeks because I was out of town and it was my 25th wedding anniversary, so we had to go away.
Oh, congratulations.
So, but he was busting my chops because I live on an island in South Florida. And for our anniversary, we went to an island in the Bahamas. So he's like, why would you go from one island to another?
Because it's not where my clients are? Is that a good enough answer?
Yeah. But it all works that way. But for us, it was funny because it was like an hour and a half drive across the state to get to Fort Lauderdale Airport. And then you got to get there 2 hours early because it's still considered international. You go through all that stuff. 32-minute flight.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was like, really? That's just funny stuff there. Like,
yeah, but you can't – by the time you get up to – speed and height, you're on your way down.
They did that. That's exactly what they did. They actually did beverage service, which I thought was stupid. Just, you know, like, all right, would you like a Coke or something? I'm like, no, it's a 32-minute flight.
No, I'm not even going to have time to throw it out, you know, before I'm
As soon as
drinking.
They did. As soon as they served everybody, they got up. And I go, the captain comes out and goes, yeah, we're starting our final descent. Please throw away all your trash, you know.
And, you're like one sip into a rum and Coke.
Nice.
Now it's just doing shots.
Well, there you go. That's it. You should just do shots on those short flights. I think that would solve a lot of problems, actually.
Yeah. So going back to the trades, though, and here's an article I just got that this is actually geared towards Florida. All right. So in Collier County in Southwest Florida, they're talking about jobs that are missing, the gaps. So maintenance and repair workers general is a huge gap when you go all the way down through mechanics and so on. But basically, everybody's missing. Okay, but first line supervisors for construction, huge. You can't find guys that are supervisors that know what they're doing to manage or train three bodies you put on a job.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where again, you go back to the union thing where it becomes really handy. The median wage. Now, median wage. Median is middle. Just as many or more, just as many as left, right? It's not average. People screw that up all the time. Carpenters, average, median income or median salary, $18.45 an hour.
It seems low.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
So that's the problem. If you're going to pay $18.45 an hour, what kind of skill do you think you're going to get?
Right.
Laborers are $14 an hour. This is median income down here in our county. These are ridiculously low numbers. Roofers were at $15.56, but I think that went up quite a bit over the last year. Hurricane Irma. Electricians are good, $21 an hour. But still, when you think about what a union electrician or a union carpenter in the city of Chicago makes, and if you have training, again, I don't have a problem starting somebody at that salary. But as you learn, as you stick around, the pay goes up.
Right? Well, yeah, and that's, you know, that's the concern, too, because it's like, especially on the remodeling side, you know, you got to be competitive on pricing. It's like, yeah, you know, I can come in and say, yeah, we do high-end work, we do luxury work, but at the end of the day, you know, the homeowners are expecting us to come in at a good price, you know, at a competitive price. No one's really willing to pay a premium, you know, because you're paying your guys more. People might say it's nice, but when it really comes down to pulling out their checkbook,
you're right.
You know, you got to be competitive. And yeah, if I have employees, like I have two site foremen. And to that effect, I've trained both of them myself. I hired both on personality. One foreman is a plumber, a licensed plumber. He had a business for 10 years. And so to me, that's a good personality, someone who understands where I'm coming from. And then the other guy, you know, he was a countertop fabricator for 15 years. And these are my site foremen. And I chose them based on personality. Because there just aren't, first of all, there aren't any foremen out there. You know, there aren't site managers out there. And that's, you know, a lot of that is, you know, you got to be jack of all trades, master of none.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. And then, you know, this thing with the carpenters, because we were like, oh, maybe we should bring on carpenters. We'll just have our own guys. But then it's like we have the issue of if I was a carpenter being trained by somebody and then I learned something, I'd immediately want to go out on my own. Because
but that's because there's a shortage in the industry, right?
Yeah.
If you let's just, like, I'm talking about a sea change in how we think about our industry. And, you know, I'll give you, for example, we're broadcasting from Evanston, Illinois here, and at the public high school, Evanston has one public high school, and you can go on a track to be sort of going into college. There are other tracks, for example, one of five high schools in the country that you can leave with a mechanics license. You can leave ASE certified. What if you could leave and be a trained carpenter?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we were talking about Washburn Trade School and trade schools in general. I think those are important. But what if you had basic carpentry skills when you left? Think about all the homeowners that don't know how to do, and we'll be talking about this in an upcoming segment, fall maintenance. You know, they don't. So anyways, learning basic skills in life, how to do things, really should continue to be a thing in the world. And I think we need to talk about how we invest in that.
All right. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back,
this is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on him.
This is Mighty House.
Oh, bad.
All right. I sit corrected. I'm not doing tip of the week till next segment.
Nope,
I looked at the wrong
segment. We're not ready.
Segment. Right. Join us on Facebook right now. Brought to you in part by the Roofers and Waterproofers Local 11. Smart 265 Sheet Metal Workers Union International thing. And I lost my place. Okay. And Mr. Floor and Maggie Rad. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to them all at MightyHouse.net. Give us a call at Mr. Floor Helpline, 877-711-5611. You have a chance to win your choice of Mr. Floor cleaning products, all non-toxic, environmentally safe. You can learn more at MrFloor.com. So, prefer the phone ring. I'd like to get people to chime in, get their opinions. But during the break, we were talking about is it's extremely important to bring back.
I'm sorry, Randall was helping us out here.
Yes. Oh. Dangers of grandfathering.
Is that Love dangers that. Of being a grandfather?
Is that, are we afraid of children? Is that what we're about to?
I'm often terrified.
No, I think he means
let's
like
have
old
that
code.
Conversation.
Right? All right, throw him up there. Hey,
right,
Will.
Let's do it.
Morning, Will.
How you doing?
Doing absolutely great.
I posted an article there that was written by a home inspector friend of mine. I can't claim credit for it. It was about grandfather gets grandfathered. One of the big things that I run into a lot when I'm inspecting houses is that, I'll run into a defect, and the agent or the seller will say, oh, that's grandfathered, especially in Chicago, because in Chicago, you got BX all over the place, and they call it grandfathered. And so,
well, considering they haven't updated their code in 30 years.
Yeah.
Right, well, but
that's grandfathered.
Underlines the things that a lot of these things are safety issues. An example would be I did a condo in Evanston some years ago, and it was a nice, really nice building, built in 94, but they had a master bath off the master bedroom, and the master bath had a gas-fired clothes dryer. And I pointed out that was a defect, that was a problem. And so the selling agent and the president of the condo association were getting up on my face about, well, all the units have this.
Can you explain why it's a defect in your mind?
Carbon monoxide dangers. But
it was not vented.
It was vented.
Did the dryer not go outside?
It was vented outside. You can't have gas-fired appliances in bedrooms or bathrooms.
Okay, as a home inspector, you can't address code, as I understand it, at least in Illinois, right?
Right. We're supposed to go according to current national standards and best practices.
Mm. My understanding was it was supposed to be
higher,
judging
like Chicago,
it.
You can't have mini breakers,
No, you judge it as to does it do what its intended purpose is and what is its life expectancy.
Right.
Especially with regards to safety.
Right.
That's why this article is interesting. Mm-hmm. It's about an older guy who's working at a disposer, and it's a multi-wire circuit without, a double pole, and he doesn't trip the other one, and the neutral zaps him, and he falls, and he breaks his leg, and he tries to get help, but every place he goes, he finds that stuff that his grandfather is keeping him, from getting out. Like he goes to the door, but the door's got a key on the inside, and he can't reach the keys on the countertop, that kind of stuff. So it's just a very interesting thing to read, because we're supposed to be primarily concerned with safety. And there's a lot of things that are really unsafe, which are really cheap to fix, but people don't get them taken care of, and then they get hurt. And then they want to come after us, So it's grandfathering, I don't know, it's 1950s house, no GFCIs. It's not expensive to upgrade, but people don't want to do it, and then they get shocked. And
do you get people a lot that come after you as the inspector later?
Oh yeah. I had one. I told the story last week about an anti-tip bracket that they didn't put on, and the stove fell, and their little girl got second-degree burns over half her body.
Shit.
And their lawyer's coming after me. And I go, I wrote that up, counselor, and I showed him the report. And he still kept saying, well, gee, you're the only one with insurance here, so you should pay for it. I'm like, no. So
that's crazy.
Okay, I don't disagree that there are things that are avoidable. Like if you have a large screen TV on the stand that it came with, that TV should still be strapped to the wall because they will fall over. But I will admit that I've been a little bit old school, and I truly believe in Charles Darwin. Some of this is other people's fault. A stove doesn't just tip over. So the little girl had to be climbing up the stove or doing something, or they're climbing up the dresser, and that's what the word no is for, or
well,
don't.
And where does it begin? Hold on, Will. Where does it begin where the parents' responsibility is to childproof the house, right? So So I'm actually a real estate broker. So I'm the guy who says to you, what did you say, grandfathered? We don't use that term in the industry. We say existing nonconforming, right? Existing nonconforming means that it conformed to the original code at the time that the place was built, but they didn't then. Nobody then went and did a remodel and touched it and didn't change it. If you touch it, it has to be changed. If you don't touch it, it really doesn't have to be changed. And as an inspector in the state of Illinois, you're not allowed to address code, as far as I understand the rules of your industry.
And therefore, you can't be held accountable for it.
It's not allowed by the state. It's not a question of not allowed by the state. It's that the only people who can cite code are the local code inspectors. Because that's their jurisdiction.
Okay, so you can what you can do is call out a life safety question, right? So,
correct.
And I've gone back and forth with inspectors on this all the time. Tell me what the life safety issues are. I definitely want to hear those. And if you have a real concern, like for example, a place that let's say an older kitchen that's not GFI, I'll go to the seller side. If I got a buyer, I'm going to go to the seller side. And if it's my seller, I'm going to go to my own seller and say, listen. They're 15 bucks a piece. You know, I need, 10, 15 minutes to swap out each one. You know, so I need 100 bucks for labor. I need, 60 bucks for the four outlets that we need to swap out to GFI.
Yeah, and for people who don't know what a GFI is, he's talking about a ground fault interrupter. So it's a different kind of outlet that you use around wet areas. To protect you from, killing yourself.
Yeah, thank you for translating Osh to English.
No problem.
It's not wet areas. It's areas that have a ground.
So this question about the article about the guy with a double-sided lock, which we don't allow anymore. When they bought the house, why didn't they change the lock? I literally,
because those cost money too.
And I'll tell you, this situation
happened. They're like, that's $25 we just can't do right now.
This situation happened to me this summer. I was representing a seller on a condo in Skokie, and the original locks were on the doors. In fact, the keys to them had been lost, so the top locks were never locked or unlocked. Only the interior, the knob sets were being locked, and. The buyer's home inspector came in and said, "Hey, this is a safety issue." I said, "Don't worry about it. We'll take care of it." And literally, I paid out of my pocket as the broker to handle the issue. The seller didn't want to deal with it. I felt it was an ethical issue. Like, I wanted to give this woman peace of mind. And really, what did it cost me?
Right.
So it was a small expense on my side to make the buyer, who really wasn't even my client, but to make her feel happy and safe.
I always think locks are a bad example anyway, because when you put locks on a house, it's to keep honest people out.
A perfect example is venting the bathroom exhaust fans into the attic. You know, because it used to be okay, or at least people thought it was okay, but now it's not. And it's a big mold problem, it could be caused by that. And
no, you have an increased moisture issue, not a mold problem. There's no such thing as a mold problem.
I know.
Jeff will be calling now.
So, yeah, there's water intrusion problems or moisture problems.
Yes.
But, I want to disagree with you a little bit, Ash. Home inspectors and agents or realtors both have a fiduciary responsibility to the client. And when I have an agent who represents a buyer who's arguing with me, there's no argument. I'm in charge. He's not, or she's not. And I'm not trying to be a jerk or nothing, but too many times I see agents who are more concerned with getting it done than they are with actually understanding what's happening and moving forward with that. And I can understand, I see a lot of times where agents will pay for stuff to get fixed. Our job is liability management. We're managing liability for the client, and we're trying to pass that liability on to the seller or someone else. There's TFCIs to be put in. First of all, you don't need one for every receptacle. And number two, I'd like to see them put in by an electrician. But you get guys who do it themselves. I always tell the clients, hey, look, get the invoice from the electrician to show that the work was done professionally. And then if anything goes wrong, guess who's going to pay for it? The electrician. So I differ with you a little bit about you know, I'm not going to sit there and write contracts, and I don't expect realtors to sit there and start arguing with me about inspection stuff. And that's, you know... That's
no, but you know what's funny is every time I bought or sold a house, I had that stupid piece of paper that said, as is. And what part of as is don't you get?
Yeah. Right.
This is it. This is what you're buying. Well, walk through it.
As is. They want to know what is.
Well it is what it is.
Let me.
And so everybody's an electrician. I'm just saying. You talk to any homeowner.
Hey, Will, we're coming up on a break, man. Thanks for the call. I think we'll debate this for a while because I do enjoy that.
I've got a whole lot more to say about this. I could fill up a whole nother segment.
Yeah, I know. No, it's
Ash
good.
Is
no,
ready.
I have no problem doing it because I think it's, you know, I told you, I've had my run-ins with inspectors as well. I had a house inspected down here, $8 million house, and one of the line items they put on the inspection is there were no window coverings on the master bath windows, so people might be able to see in.
Yeah,
well,
so
thank
I want
you,
I want
Captain Obvious.
Right.
It's up to the homeowner to put up window treatments. It ain't coming with the house.
Here's your hat.
I want to call out the difference between, so I'll give a shout out to Tony Mitchell, who's a great home inspector who I've used for many, many a year. And people like, and there are other guys in the area that I've worked with that are great too. But the difference between a home inspector that I think is effective and one that's not effective is the non-effective people will do what you're talking about. They'll reach out to call out something that's completely unnecessary that just sets the buyer on their heels for no reason.
Yeah. All right, let me do this. I might hit a break on time. Nope, did do it.
This
is I'm sorry. I know I'm a complete amateur.
Here they come to save the day. This is Mighty House.
All right. We are broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com, and on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. Join us on Patreon. Become a patron of Mighty House. There you can actually get the show at your leisure. You can get special things, special requests, like if you need checklists for remodeling your kitchen, your bathroom, just simply drop us a line and you get those for free because you're a patron. The newsletter. Want to sign up for the newsletter? Go to mightyhouse.net and, you know, go to the contacts page, first, last name, email address, click on submit, boom, done. You'll get that every Friday. It'll tell you what's coming up on the show, who's going to be on the show. Ron's not on the show. Robbie's not here, although she just joined on Facebook. It says she slept in. Beautiful, Robbie. Enjoy. She has another wedding. She must have the biggest freaking family ever.
Yeah, I've been to like two weddings in my family.
And
one didn't work out.
An overrun excuse.
Yeah.
But always weddings. It's crazy. So anyway, give us a call on the Mr. Floor helpline. 877-711-5611. We're going to do the Maggie Rad tip of the week. You notice there, it's no longer the Your Name Here tip of the week. It's the Maggie Rad tip of the week.
Why?
I like that. Well, because they sponsored it.
Oh.
Which is good.
That's great.
I finally got a sponsor for my tip of the week.
So I was reading the newsletter, and I was reading about Maggie Rad, and I'd like some information, please.
Well, first off, he's listening, so...
So Bob he's there. Great.
So he can call in, and he can give me information.
We don't let him call in because he is very, he writes manuals for water heaters and stuff. This guy's brilliant, but he's kind of like me. I guess it speaks more like a instruction book.
Okay, all right. Then so you can answer my question. So we didn't. Here's the thing.
So here, listen. If rumbling and crackling sounds are made by the water heater, or there never seems to be enough hot water, it's time to clean the tank. This condition occurs when layers of sediment, caused primarily by hard water, build up on the tank bottom and heating surfaces, producing a heat-retarding scale. MaggiRad is a patented food-grade compound designed to dissolve and remove the hard water sediment through the heater drain. MaggiRad is a plumber's product safe enough for consumer use. You can find MaggiRad at your local plumbing supply house or Menards. See that?
Save big money.
All right, just do it. That's my cue. All right, so the tip of the week this week, because Ron and Robbie weren't going to be here, and I knew you two were, this is more you can chime in all the way along. So where else do you look for help when remodeling? So when you consider doing a project around your house, where do you look for help? So if you want design ideas, do you go to Houzz, Pinterest? That's the extent of my use of them. I mean, I have clients all the time. They send me links or photos saying this is what I want.
Yeah.
But one of the problems I have is I would say 6 out of 10 don't meet code.
Yeah. Like, you ever seen on Pinterest, like they have these bathrooms where the showers look like perfectly level. It's like the floor, it's like
doesn't pitch.
Doesn't pitch. Yeah. It's not a curbless shower. It's like just like the shower floor continues. I'm like, it's not, there's got to be a pitch somewhere. Yeah. It can't look like that.
Or you have to be surrounded by drains.
Yeah.
There's actually a product that's sold by Kohler that I put into a recent project, and it's a pan. It's a, I don't know what it was, maybe 4x6 pan, mm-hmm. that is virtually flat. And we have had
callbacks. I think that's a problem.
We've had callbacks on it, and I will never do it again. I think we will, I'll just have the tile guy deal with the...
Yeah, so what do you think, Rich? What's your tip?
Well, no, I don't disagree with you at all. I actually like zero barrier showers. Mm-hmm. I built one for my mother-in-law. She had a big corner soaker tub. And I ripped that baby out, and I built a zero barrier shower. But I did put a half-inch tall marble strip,
mm-hmm.
So the shower door has something to sit on.
Right.
Or seal, too. So that's what you have. If you can't get over that half-inch tall marble strip, you've got a problem. But the other thing that has become huge are the linear drains.
Yeah.
What I like about the linear drain is in an old-fashioned shower, when you put the drain in the middle of the floor, you have to pitch that floor in four directions, right? All four sides have to pitch to the middle.
Right.
Which is why you always use mosaic tile, small format tile. When you use the linear drains, I can use large format tile. I can use 2x2, 2 foot by 2 foot, or 3 foot by 4 foot. So I can tile your bathroom shower
floor. Because you only have one direction to pitch.
Tile. You got it. And I love the look of the linear drain. Now, the other thing is I see people put them in the wrong place. They should always be under the shower head.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like at the shower wall so that the water runs down.
As opposed
down.
To the back.
When the shower drips, you don't want that drip running.
Yeah, or along the back wall, like the
Well,
the
I think that's
wall.
What he's saying is not along the
yeah.
back wall.
It should
not
be,
along the back
I mean,
wall.
Like if you're standing in the shower, you know, if you're facing the shower head.
Oh,
behind you that
wall.
Way. Yeah, and you know the great
you
thing
can't.
About. Yeah, no, you can't. But people want to. They like the look of it. But the great thing about linear drains, too, is they also have like the linear drains that have the empty pan on top so you can tile mm-hmm. on top of the linear drain.
Right.
It's like this really contemporary look. And we use them a lot in historical high rises because in a historical high rise in Chicago, if you're in like one of those old condo buildings, mm-hmm. there's very little you can do in those bathrooms. They don't want you cutting into the concrete. And so you can't really move your drains. So if you're trying to get as close to the stack as you can do that better with a linear drain because
sure.
you can get it all the way over and you don't have to center the drain in the center.
Right,
and you don't have to have like a 12-inch drain right in the center of your shower with this like huge step up.
Right.
Because I think a lot of people see in those bathrooms, you know, especially inspectors, it's like all of a sudden you walk into a bathroom in Chicago and it's like the floor is 12 inches off the ground. That's
right?
why.
Yeah, especially don't you love the garden unit or the basement bathrooms where like everything is a step up because some person was like, yeah, we don't need to cut into the concrete floor.
No, we'll just lay it on the floor and build
over
it.
Oh, my God. And then you're like forever smacking your head trying to get in and out of the shower.
Well, and they were probably like, yeah, we'll just do it everywhere. And then they got to the front door and they were like, ooh.
Hey, the 6'2" door is good. We just cut that bottom and leave it affixed to the step.
Nice.
But, so, you know, and it's funny, down here, when I moved down here, it was strange, is most of the homes we build are slab on grade for the most part, but they put 4-inch depressions in the slab for showers.
Mm.
So every time you go into a bathroom, you go into the shower, there's a 4-inch step down. I'm like, why are you doing that? Well, that's how we do it. I go, like Will said, I used to take my bathroom fans and I would run them up in the attic and put them on a rafter next to a roof vent. We found out that wasn't the best idea ever. So we stopped doing it. Why are you still putting 4-inch depressions in the slab? I could see doing a 1.5-inch because we mudset our tile, but do the same thing. Linear drain, zero barrier. You know, if you're in a walker, wheelchair, we call it universal design, right? Age in place. I don't understand why we still put 4-inch depressions in the slab. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
I mean, we're in a retrofit kind of a market, so we don't, it's not a thing that I've experienced. I don't know if you have, Allison, but, so we definitely work on age in place projects, where we're, you know, retrofitting for small barrier, if not zero barrier, and doing, tiled seats inside showers. In fact, actually, I just did a heated seat, in a new bath, Reno.
Yeah.
They appreciated that.
Does it make you want to pee in the shower? Does it get super hot?
I just ran one of the...
Because that's what car seats do to me.
Really?
Okay.
I think on that note,
we should just kind of fade out now.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Mighty House.
Yes. You can catch up. Catch us on YouTube. Catch up on older tips if you missed them.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.